For our scripture reading this evening, we turn to two places of scripture. First, in the Old Testament, to Psalm 23, and then to the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2. We turn first in the Word of God to Psalm 23, where we also find our text for this evening. Let us hear the Word of God, Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our focus this evening is that second part of verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And let us then turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 11, we have the Word of God. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Dear congregation, Jehovah, shepherd, the divine shepherd, what a name that is! What a beautiful name! What a beautiful reality! Reflected in that name, that the Lord is a shepherd. And what a great blessing If you may confess tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. In that name is then everything. That's why I can continue, I shall not want, shall not lack anything. He will provide everything I need. He will. We've listened to that first verse. We've listened to that second verse of how he will lead and he will feed in those green pastures. He will refresh and he will restore my soul. He will give me what I need. He will sustain me in spiritual life. And yet I find in myself a heart that is prone to go astray. But verse 3 comes and it says, he restoreth my soul. Time and again. He's not one who grows weary of restoring and correcting and bringing back his sheep. A little while ago, I talked to the neighbor, and the neighbor had a bull in his pasture, and the bull kept getting out, and he said, I had to shoot it because it wouldn't stop breaking through the fence. The Lord is so different. He restores again and again. And how do you know that the Lord restores? How can you know if the Lord is restoring your soul? Then he also does the second half of the verse. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. His restoration of the soul, correcting you when you go astray, bringing you back, is to lead you in his path. And that's what we focus on this evening, what that is, to be led in the paths of righteousness. And so our theme is, my shepherd leads in paths of righteousness. First, his paths. Second, his leading. And third, his reason for leading. My shepherd leads in the paths of righteousness. Those paths, his leading, and his reason for leading. If you think of the wilderness, then there, at least in Israel, there could be many different paths that would crisscross the landscape, paths that had been trodden by others in the past. And it would be so important that you would know what path to go on, because one path could lead you to the cliff, and you could easily fall off. And another path could lead you to a robber's den, and they would steal you. Another path could lead you far into the desert, a path that only camels could manage to go on without drying out, and you as a sheep would dry out. Another path could lead to what looks like water. You go towards it and you find out it's the Dead Sea, so salty you can't even drink it. You need the right path because there's so many wrong paths. And if that was then for a sheep, how much more for us? There are so many paths in this world and so many directions that people may go, and others may call, come with us and go along. So many paths in this world, they lead to bitterness, they lead to emptiness, they lead to death over a cliff, they lead to misery and death. In Proverbs 7, Solomon tells of how he saw someone go a wrong path. He saw among the young people going past his window a foolish person who went towards the harlot. She flattered him. He went in. And he said, he did not realize her path was the way of death. Paths of sin are paths of death. And the pull can be strong, and the feelings and the urges can say, go in that path. That's the way of pleasure. But the end of all unrighteous ways is death. Crooked paths, unrighteous paths, paths that don't fit with the word of God will only lead you to misery. That's why Psalm 125 says, "Such as turn aside into their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity." Have you tasted that? Sinful ways are bitter ways. Sinful ways are miserable ways. Sinful ways are ways of death. That we need another path. That we need a better path. What path? God speaks here of a path. And literally, it's a track. A path that's been made by people walking on that path. So clearly, there must be people that go in this right path. Who are they? They're the sheep that follow the shepherds. They are in this path. It's a path on which he leads his sheep throughout all the ages. It's amazing, isn't it, that today someone here can feel closer to someone who lived 3,000 years ago than your next door neighbor. Because as you read the psalmist, you find him on a path and you recognize that path as a path that he leads you on as well. The shepherd doesn't need to invent new paths, break new paths every generation. No, he has these paths that he has led his sheep on through the centuries since the times of the Bible. That's why Jeremiah 6 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and seek and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." It could be beneficial to learn from those who have walked in those paths in the past. You can learn from them. That's why it's so important that you and I also are upon those paths of the shepherd with his sheep, so that we might be able to show others what those blessed paths are, so that children would see in parents, and that members would see in office bearers, and students would see in teachers and other adults, here is the blessed path, trodden by the feet of the sheep of Christ. Isn't that also what Paul said? "Be ye followers of me on the path that I am walking." Because he knew this is a blessed path. Yet we can hesitate to say that or not. Be followers of me. When you know something of your own heart, then you can say, "How can I say that?" And so again, we ask, what are these paths? These are not just paths where people who are called sheep of Christ walk on. These are the paths that Christ himself walks on. Paul says, "Be followers of me, even as I am of Christ." As he followed Christ, he said, "Follow with me." Christ is the one who walked on the true and blessed path, the only good path in this life. That's why we read from 1 Peter 2, how it says, "He left us an example that we should follow in his steps." He walked that straight path to the glory of God. Every step he took as a little boy, as a teenager, as an adult, was in the right path. Every time he ate and drank, it was to the glory of God. Every word he spoke was to the honor of his Father. Every thought he had and every imagination he had was right and good and true. He is the one who went perfectly on that right path, on the path of righteousness. Righteousness, that's what describes this path. And you hear in that word righteousness, children, the word right, right? To be righteous is to be right. And it has that sense of being straight. Like I've used it before, but if the illustration, if you have you draw a line, and you get a long straight ruler and you put it over top of that line, then you can see whether that line is really straight. Now, righteousness is when the ruler of God's law comes and shows this is a straight way, this is a straight path to walk on, the path of righteousness, marked by God's words. So the paths of righteousness are the paths God leads his sheep on, the path that Christ himself walked on, the path marked out by the word of God to his glory. These are the paths God gives for our feet. Our feet to make those paths well worn. That's what happens, right? You see it in pasture sometimes. Around the edge, there's a pathway because those animals always go the same place. And they work a pathway. That's how it's to be in our lives. It's not about at one time you did something really good. It's not about that fall that you so regret even years later. It's about the regular pathway of our lives in the path of righteousness. They're called paths because the exact way the Lord leads through life may vary from one to the other, but righteousness characterizes all his paths. And when I say that tonight, I'm not telling you anything new. We know that there's only one right path, and that's God's path. And we know that sinful paths are on that broad way to destruction. There's a narrow way of life. But the question is not whether we know there is a path that's narrow and straight, and there's paths that are broad and crooked. The question is, where are our feet tonight? How are we walking? What paths are we treading down? Is the song of our life, "In thy law forevermore my daily walk shall be. The Lord's commands which I have loved shall still new joy impart. With reverence I will hear thy law and keep them in my heart." Is that your song day by day, his path? Or are you making the rut, can I say, of sinful paths deeper and deeper? The more we walk in ways of sin, the more they become habits, the more they become ingrained in us, and the easier it is just to continue on in those ruts that we create by our sin, our selfishness. Those ruts of how we treat certain other people. Those ruts of how we spend our time. Those ruts, what we do with our phone. Those ruts of living without thinking much of God. Those ruts of ingrained self-righteousness, of looking down on others. Those ruts, whatever they may be. Is that how you're walking? No, and that can be not only in an absolute way, but even God's own sheep can forsake this path, this right path. There's a story of the one in the African village who lived in a little mud hut like everyone else in the village, and was a man who wanted to pray, and so he would often go out along a little path to a quiet place. One time his friend came to him and said, "I'm concerned about you because I see that more grass is growing on that path of prayer." You see the point? People may not see it right away in us, but again, it's a question. Are we walking in that path of righteousness, or are we wandering away? Isn't that why we so need this first half of the verse? "He restoreth my soul," to lead me in these blessed ways. And how thankful we may be that he not only shows this is a path that you are to walk on, and walk on that. And if you walk on that, I will be there at the end. No, he is the one as the shepherd who restores the soul time and again back into that path. And so leads in that way. Imagine if a shepherd only gave a sheep a map and he said, here's all the paths, and this is a bad path, and this is a right path, and now I've told you, and now that's all you need. No, what does a sheep need? He needs a shepherd to not only show him what the path is, but also to lead him in that path. And that's our second point, not only the paths, but also his leading in that path. How does he lead? What may we expect him to do? What may we plead him to do? What may we thank him for doing when we see him doing it? As the one who leads in his path, he first of all sets sheep in his path. If you have been living in the rut of sin, if you've been living without walking in God's path, the problem may be that you're still a lost sheep. And if you're a lost sheep tonight, what do you need? You have a great need because you have a problem. And your problem is many aspects to it, but also this problem, that you don't love the path of righteousness. You don't. You don't love the righteousness of God. It sounds negative. It sounds restrictive. That narrow, straight path. It's so confining. It's so different from that broad, being able to do whatever you want. You don't like the righteousness of God. And when you hear, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that has pure hands and a clean heart and walks uprightly and works righteousness. And then you like that all the less because you realize that's not me. What are you to do? When you hear of this path of righteousness, are you just to say, okay, now I'm going to try to be better. Now I'm going to try to be more careful how I spend my time. Now I'm going to try to pray more. Now I'm going to try to. As long as you don't love the righteousness of God, you will never set foot on this path of righteousness, no matter how hard you try to be good, because your heart's still wrong. Do you know what you need? You need the shepherd. The shepherd who comes into the broad path. The shepherd who comes into all those crooked ways and who finds sinners where they are to bring them to repentance. He is the one who has come to seek and to save the lost wherever they are and to bring them back, to confront with the reality of sin, that all those paths are dead-end paths, so that you come to realize, I cannot go on this path. I thought it gave me pleasure, but it only brings to misery and death, so that you would become most afraid of your own paths of death. That you would come before him, confessing your sin, confessing you don't love righteousness, confessing it before him, in order to find pardon with him. Pardon for your love for sin. Pardon through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who came as Jesus Christ, the righteous, who never strayed from the path, and who yet was condemned as if he were the greatest transgressor of the law of God, because he came as that Lamb of God to offer up himself as a sacrifice for sin to satisfy the justice of God. It's him you need. It's him whose blood cleanses ones who tonight have a heart that's bent away from him. He says, come to me, and I will cleanse you. Do you know what happens when he cleanses you? Cleanses you from his sin, from your sin. Then you know you no longer have that aversion to the righteousness of God, but you love the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ the righteous. You glory in him as your righteousness before God. But you also love that righteous shepherd who leads in the paths of righteousness. Then you want to be close to him. You want to follow him. Then his path becomes a beautiful path. It really does. With the shepherd finding you, setting you on his path, he doesn't force. He constrains and renews to make you want to go that path. Therefore, if your heart is still bent away, that it would bring you to this Christ, this shepherd, who sets feet on this path through his redeeming grace. But he not only sets on this path, he also leads forward. He leads, and he leads by his voice. I had a friend who was in the airport, and he had carrying bags in either hand, and he had to lead a blind person. And how do you lead a blind person when you cannot hold his arm or let him hold your arm? Well, he said, I will talk, and you follow my voice. And that's what he did. How do we know how to follow the voice, how to follow the good shepherd? He speaks, and his speech gives guidance where to go, what way to go. My sheep, he says, hear my voice, and they follow me. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. His voice is so powerful that by his word he convinces, this is my word, this is my will, this is my path. He gives discernment to know what he reveals in his word and how it applies to your life. His voice is not about just having a voice come from heaven from time to time. It's about what he speaks in his word. The proof of whether he is speaking to you is not even whether that a text suddenly comes or not. Texts can suddenly come to us and yet lead us astray. You can see someone do something and that text comes, go and do likewise. But the real question is what they are doing according to the word of God. The Holy Spirit will never lead sheep to go contrary to what he has revealed in his word. And that's why it's so important to be at home in his word, to be reading his word, to be coming under the preaching of his word, where the voice of the good shepherd sounds and is able to give a message to you in your situation in life. That is why it is so important to be meditating on that word of God. Remember Psalm 1 when it speaks of how the righteous will not walk in the ways of the ungodly? Why? Because they're meditating in the word of God day and night. Oh, if we are to be led by the good shepherd, then we must be ones who open the word of God and who listen to the voice of Christ the shepherd as he speaks in his word, and that we would not just waste our time filling our time with so much noise that bombards us from every angle, and that all of a sudden when we're in need and we need direction, then we cry out to God to guide us. No, to be in the word, for the Lord to show us his way and convince us of what his way is. And so easily we can try and interpret the word of God to fit our own desires. But what a blessing it is when the voice of the shepherd persists in sounding until you know this is the way. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we can think, oh, but self-denial doesn't mean I have to give up this. And self-denial doesn't mean I have to do that. But he continues to show through his word, yes, that is what it means. He guides by his words. Thirdly, he inclines by his spirit. Notice it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Sometimes you see cows being herded. There's someone behind them, driving them on. Get going or else. But it doesn't say he herds me, he drives me from behind. It says he leads me. That means a shepherd is in front and the sheep are following behind. Different than a cow being driven. Different also than maybe you have a dog and that dog isn't so very well trained. And so when you take out that dog, what do? You put it on a leash and you make sure that you hold on tight to that leash, because if that dog sees a squirrel, it's going to run after that dog and you have the leash and you can pull it back to keep it with you. And when it stops to sniff and starts or sees another dog, you pull it back. When it races ahead, you pull it back. Use that leash to keep it with you because it doesn't listen. But the shepherd doesn't have leashes on his sheep. He walks and they follow. Why is that? Is that because they are such wonderful sheep? Such good sheep. They just follow. Is that who you are? Why do they follow? There's that invisible and yet so very powerful grace of God by his Spirit that constrains to follow. The power of this shepherd is unlike any other shepherd. Even as he goes before them, he enables them by his Spirit to follow. He makes willing in the day of his power to follow. The power of his grace constrains to follow. He knows what his sheep are like. He knows how stubborn and wayward they are. But greater than all the stubbornness and greater than all the waywardness is the power of the Holy Spirit in order to incline to follow the shepherds. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, makes me willing. So we confess in Lord's Day 1, right? Makes me willing and ready. That's his grace. It's not that I'm confined and restrained and I have to. I want to. Willing. For he works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, Philippians 2 says, that you really do want to deny yourself. And you really do want his honor. And you really do want to stay from those sins, even though you feel their power of their temptation. He leads me by the power of his Spirit. And the secret of that, I believe, is love. Love. And that's the blessedness of it. Young people never think that following Christ as a shepherd is bondage. It's not bondage. If it's bondage, you don't know the shepherd. If you know the shepherd, then it's his love that makes you want to follow. And sin is bondage. Again, you see that close connection, don't you, between the first and the second half of this verse. He restoreth my soul. He renews it. and gives it a love to him. And that is what constrains to follow him. By his voice he leads. By his spirit he leads. Lastly, by his presence he leads. If he leads, that means he is present. He goes ahead, but he's there. He doesn't just point out the way, as I said. He doesn't just give a map. But he's present as the shepherd to be with his sheep as he leads them in his path. He isn't just that distant heavenly shepherd that directs from far. No, he is the one who has come down to earth. He is the one who has walked through this sinful world. He is the one who knows what it is to walk in the path of righteousness, even in the midst of a world of sin and corruption. We read of that in the Epistle of Peter. He can be touched with the feelings of the infirmities of his people. He is the one who is in all points tempted like as they are. And that is why he can go with them in the midst of that pathway. He's the one who walked through this world. He's the one who is now in glory. But he is also the one who is here present with each of his sheep. You read that meditation in the Messenger just recently about Christ's presence. Well, that's what this is about. Christ present with his sheep. What a blessing to be able to confess, he leadeth me, with me, before me, to make a way with his own presence. And congregation, if this is what he does in leading, he sets on the way. He shows the way. He inclines to follow. And he is present on that way. And in that way, he leads in the path of righteousness. What is that to lead? Where is that to bring us? Is it not to make us prize this grace of the shepherd? If the shepherd did not do what we read in our text, every single person would be on the broad road to destruction. Everyone would be wandering through this barren land to perish. But that he sets on the way and keeps on the way and leads on the way demonstrates what a shepherd he is. So great, so gracious, so powerful, so wise. There's none like him. Oh, to prize that grace of the shepherd. But also to pray. To pray for that grace of the shepherds. Aren't the Psalms so full of prayers? Lead me, teach me. Psalm 5, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of thine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. I'm so afraid I will miss thy way with my foolishness and my blindness. O Lord, set it straight before my face and lead me in that way. Lead me. Psalm 25, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth and teach me. Psalm 143, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good, lead me in the land of uprightness, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Congregation, if this is what God does, how can we not pray to God for him to do so? Do you? Do you, as children and young people, pray, O Lord, lead me. Set me on thy blessed way, that I may go through life with thee as a shepherd on thy way. Do we, as older ones? Lord, there's only one way. It's thy way. There's only one way I can go on thy way, and that's with thee as my guide, thee as my shepherd. Lord, lead me. Lead me on that way. Oh, let us pray that, because he's the one who does it. And when we wonder, why does he do it? And you look at yourself, and you see your own waywardness, and you see your own dullness, and you see your own whatever it can be that you see in yourself, and you say, why would he do it for me? He tells you why. For his name's sake. That's our final point. The reason. The reason for it. And if we just step back a moment and ask not just why does he lead in his way, but why does he have sheep at all? You know, if a shepherd today, a farmer has sheep today, he has them for a reason. He has sheep because they produce wool, produce sheep milk, produce mutton or lamb that can be eaten. You can sell them. He has sheep so that those sheep will provide him with something. Otherwise, he's wasting his time taking care of those sheep. Why does Christ have sheep? Great flock. What do they have to give him that he doesn't have already? He has everything. He needs nothing. We can't make God richer by being his sheep. Why does he have sheep? You could say, well, he's just doing what he should do. No, not at all. No one deserves to have him as a shepherd. We all deserve to die. And yet in this fallen world, he has this flock of sheep. Why? For his name's sake. That's why. That means he does all he does to his glory as the shepherd. He doesn't become a shepherd to get something he doesn't have, but to show who he truly is and what he truly has. This world is a wilderness littered with the carcasses of people. Can I put it that way? Very crudely. But in the midst of this wilderness of dying people, there is this flock. This flock of healthy sheep that live, this flock that grazes in pastures we've never seen before and they're refreshed by waters we never knew existed. And we see in the midst of this flock a shepherd that is leading them and feeding them. And we say, what a shepherd. And we see all those lions and those bears all around, and yet we see everyone in his flock safe. He's keeping them safe in the midst of all those wild animals. And we say, what a strong and mighty shepherd who's able to keep his sheep safe. And we see those sheep have some problems, and we see him so tenderly nurse each one of those sheep that are in need and restore them again. And we say, what a tender, merciful shepherd this is. And when we see him leading them from place to place, leading them to the right places, we say, what a wise shepherd this is. And when we learn that all those sheep were wretched, stubborn, sickly, miserable sheep that no one wanted, and yet he took them, say, what a mercy is in the heart of this shepherd. And when we learn that this shepherd did nothing less than lay down his life in order to purchase that flock of miserable sheep, say, what a love. What a love in this shepherd. Why does he have sheep? It's for his name's sake, to show what a glorious God he is and how great he is in his power, his wisdom, his mercy, his goodness, his love. That's why. To make his name great. And is that not what gives hope? When you look at yourself and you say, why should he bless me with this great blessing of being my shepherd and leading and feeding and restoring and protecting and doing all these things as a shepherd? He says, I do it for the glory of my own name. And when you look around and you see lost sheep around you and you wonder, how can they have him as a shepherd? It's because he's glorified in seeking out the most unlikely sheep and bringing them into his fold to glorify his own care, his own love, his own redeeming grace. And after you've been a sheep for some time and you become discouraged and you wonder, why will he continue on with someone like me who is so slow to learn and so prone to go astray? Why will he put up with me? For his own name's sake, to show just how faithful he is to every one of his sheep. As I bought you with my blood, I will not let you go. It's all to the glory of his name. And when you see sin and you see waywardness, isn't that something to bring you before God? Lord, do it not for my name's sake, but for thy great name's sake. And when you see need in the church, to bring you before God and to say, O Lord, do it not for the name of Maranatha Free Reformed Church, but for the name of the shepherd that is upon us. Because he has placed his name upon us. He has placed it on us in baptism. And will he not sanctify that great name of his upon us? He says, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do this not for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. He says, I do it for my great name's sake. And that is why you may receive this grace. That is why you may receive more of this grace. That is why you may have hope in him, that he will indeed take you and he will lead you in his path of righteousness, that blessed path, that you may be able to show also others what a blessing it is to have him as a shepherd. He says, I do it for my name's sake. Is that your only hope? Is that your only plea? Is that what fills you with amazement? All of grace is not for our sake, but it's to end in the glory of the name of this shepherd who will be glorified in his flock, in the work that he does among his flock. We began by saying, Jehovah Shepherd, what a name. Congregation, we see the least of what that name really is, if we see anything at all, but God sees the glory of his name, and he is determined to reveal it and to make it known by a flock that walks in his way following him. What a name. What a name to plead. What a shepherd to know. What a shepherd to follow, so that our lives would not be about ourselves, but about him, this shepherd, none like him. Amen.